Good afternoon from Mark Beebe and Jeff Buckles. This is Mike Moody, and we're in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to pick up at verse 2 today. Let's first look to our Lord in prayer. Father, again, we come before you, and we bow before thee and bow the knee, as our brother Paul mentioned. He would bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. We acknowledge who you are, Father, and thy Son, our Savior. We just come before you in a way of acknowledging that without him, we are nothing. And we would just ask that through the Word of God, the written, living, powerful Word of God, that we might be able to encourage the believers and might be able to show forth this person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and how we're encouraged to live as children of God. We just pray, Father, for any lost soul that may be out there as well, that they might come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You remember, if you were with us yesterday in this chapter 2, we mentioned there are some 8 descriptions of the believer here as Paul is speaking to Timothy. And in this, we saw yesterday, he was called my child or my son, as it mentions elsewhere. He was speaking of him as his genuine son in the faith. But the encouragement was to be strong. Well, today we see the second point was speaking of being a teacher and committing the doctrines of the Word of God to faithful men. Let's read verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And there's a well-known broadcast on national radio, Christian radio, that speaks of this verse quite often. I've noticed of how they attempt to tell people about the Lord, evangelize lost people, and once they're saved, they like to encourage people with this verse and point out of how we're to disciple those that are believers once they come to know Christ, and that they one day may be able to pass that on to others. And it's just a continual process. As we see this man Paul, who is an apostle, and he encourage others, such as Timothy and Titus and countless others, that we would not even know the names of many of the people he had effect of and around and with. And yet, you could put a diagram, if you had a chalkboard here, we could draw a Paul and then a line from Paul, just like with different ones in the Word of God, such as Paul and Peter and Barnabas, and name these great men of God in the early church, but you just put a line below one of their names and you'd see a couple other names, or 4 or 5 or 10 or whatever names under that. And under each of these names, you'd see more lines drawn out to where it would be pointing to other men that they had affected. My friend, we affect the people that are in our generation. We don't know per se what will happen a couple of generations from now if the Lord be not come yet. Where we're at, what town we're in, what local assembly we're in, we don't know what will happen. But we do know that we can affect the generation we're around now by holding firmly to the Word of God. And in the will of the Lord, by His grace, that may have an effect of continuing a sound foundation to the next generation. But here, we see the idea, Paul telling Timothy, that in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Now notice that. It said the same. When people call us old-fashioned when we're Christians and trying to hold to the foundation of the Word of God, and they're saying, well, get with the 90s. You know, I've heard a brother say before, back in the 1890s, didn't they say the same? People growing up then would say to their parents, oh, mom and dad, get with the 90s. Well, you know, it's always going to be that way. People want you to go with the flow. They want you to go with what's changed. And I'm not saying everything that comes up that's different in a new generation is wrong, but when it goes against the foundation of the Word of God, I would rather be old-fashioned, like Brother Vernon McGee, a good Bible teacher, mentioned. I'd rather be a square than be a circle that continually goes around in circles. Now, that may be a little direct, but my friend, it's true. We need to be old-fashioned when it comes to the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, to the dividing asunder of both soul and spirit, and is the discerner of the intent of the heart, of the thoughts of the heart. My friend, the Word of God, may we hold to it. Be it called old-fashioned or whatever, let's hold to the foundation and the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. But having said that, we mentioned there the same commit thou to faithful men. It's not bring up new doctrines. It's not come up and experiment with something that we should thought the Lord left out and add this to the Word of God. My friend, the Word of God condemns adding to the Word of God or taking away. Now, of course, as we get on into the chapter, we'll see where it speaks of how we need to rightly divide the Word of Truth. We need to take everything in context. We need to do that. And we need to certainly rightly divide the Word of Truth. But we're not to take away and add to the Word of God. But here I've got a nice little note here from W.E. Vine, a Greek expositor of the Word of God in years past. He mentioned this: some hold that the Scriptures were not a final revelation and that the authority of the Church would be such as to provide for additional doctrines. Others consider that the truths essential in apostolic times may not be essential in the changing circumstances of today. The Scripture bears its own testimony against this. The faith has been once for all delivered unto the saints, it says in Jude 3. Another translation says, once for all. That is important. This makes clear that it was not the divine intention of the Scriptures to receive additions or modifications, to add to them or readjust their teaching, or to issue additional decrees, as if it were of divine authority, is to impugn the perfect work of the Spirit of God, and to be guilty of presumption. Now that was our brother W.E. Vine. The Word of God stands for itself. Perhaps at this point we could turn to some of the references the brother did note in that little article there. If we were to turn back to the book of, one of the books of Moses, and look over there in Deuteronomy, and find our place at chapter 4, and we'd like to look at verse 2, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. That's important. Keep in mind that as we move over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 5 and 6, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Now, another interesting thing, if we move on into the New Testament, we could look at a couple of portions there. We see in the book of Revelation, it's interesting that at the beginning of Revelation, it mentions how it's a blessing to read this book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Then at the end, the very last chapter of Revelation, it speaks of the that if you add or take away to the book of this prophecy, you shall have the curses, the plagues of this book added to you. So we see a blessing at the beginning of Revelation, a curse at the end. It makes me think there of Israel back there in Deuteronomy 11, of how it mentions the two mounts, the mountains of Ebal and Gerizim, of how one was a mount where they would declare the blessings of God. One, they would declare the cursings of God. So we see there the contrast. If you choose to obey the Word of God, and to heed to him, you see blessings. If you refuse and turn away from, and ignore the word of God, we see cursing. Now, we're not Israel, and I'm not saying specifically look at those blessings and cursings of Deuteronomy, because I know, rightly dividing the word of truth, that we must acknowledge we're not in that dispensation. But we can say that it is a principle of the word of God, regardless of what age you're in, that when we yield to the Lord, compared to ignoring the things of God, there are two different roads, the road unto eternal life and the road to destruction. But also one other portion here, as we're in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians, we're going to look at chapter 4 and a couple of verses there, speaking of holding to the word of God. And the reason I wanted to emphasize this of the foundations of the Word of God and the authority of the Word of God is this, that in our portion there in 2 Timothy 2, when it says, "In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." The word "able" is the word "competent." And when it says, "commit thou to faithful men," it doesn't mean just lay hands suddenly on anyone because they profess to be saved and expect them to continue on with the things of the Lord and be firm and settled in it. It says to commit it to faithful men, to competent men, people that are going to hold to the word of God and its truth. 2 Corinthians 4, 1, "Therefore, seeing that we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Here we're told that we're not to handle the word of God deceitfully. We are to pass the word of God on to faithful men that are competent, that will handle the word of God and in truth. If you remember back in or forward in 2 Timothy to the chapter we'd like to look at in the future, chapter 3, it says this, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." That is a tremendous verse. It is a verse that speaks of the foundation of the Word of God, such as in the book of John, chapter 17, "Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth." Well, you know, today we've looked at quite a variation of scripture here, and I'd like to just close with one here in Ephesians chapter 4. Here we see in Ephesians 4 where it speaks of gifts that the Lord gives to those in the church, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Just briefly, I'd like to mention, because I know our brother Mark has been through Ephesians in a month past, and I'm sure he did a quite good job on this particular passage. So in verse 12, I would like to remind you when it says that these different gifted areas are for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. This is so the saints will be apt and able to do the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. Not that a select few, we don't have time to get into that, but it's not that just a select few that have these great glowing titles will be able to do all the work. We are so tendency in America just to give a man a parsonage and a salary and say, "You do the work." But the Word of God says that these areas are to build up the saints for the perfecting of the saints, so that the saints will be able to do the work of the ministry, to do the various areas of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, let us be faithful and pass this word on to other faithful men that they may be able to teach others also. May we do our part. This is Mike Moody along with Jeff Buckles and Mark Beattie for the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.